Doesn't it make you feel good to know what the condition the Mayo is in today?
It does indeed.
In 2009. Tell us about your feelings about that.
Well, it's nice to know that I've lived long enough to see it survive. I think that I was watching it decay. It's very, for me, rewarding and just a happy time to know that someone like the Snyders have made this kind of commitment. I think they're very brave. I wish them the best in every way. I think it's great.
But, you know, yes, the Snyders come along, and it's private dollars, but it should make you feel good to know that government money went into that, that Tulsans voted from Vision 2025.
I remember that.
So the people of Tulsa
have an interest.
Yes.
Have a financial interest in it.
Felt it was so important that we keep this, and that should make you feel good.
It does. It truly does. There's so many people I wish were alive to know this today. A lot of those faithful employees that were there, it was their life. I can think of quite a few in particular. Miss Chalet, who was the housekeeper. Beware of Miss Chalet. It was going to be done her way, and she knew how to do it.
Well, thank you, Marjorie.
You are very welcome.
You were very giving.
There are going to be lots of things of which I'll be thinking that I wish I had told you. The town hall is going to have its 75th reunion, and they're going to have that at the hotel. It goes back to when we used to have it at the Ritz. The lectures were at the Ritz, and then they'd go over to the hotel to the Crystal Ballroom for lunch. That would be a part of it. And so that was very convenient, one parking, and you're there. At that time, I remember one time I was introducing Jessica Tandy and her husband, Hume Crone. She was a true actress. She was a stage actress, and she was almost blind, which no one knew. And before a lecture or anything she did, she would come on her own and memorize where you're sitting exactly and have a good idea and where you're sitting so that she's totally comfortable making a quick address to you. She had all the talent in the world, the two of them. They were a great acting team. And then another person was Vincent Price. Vincent Price came, and he was staying at the hotel. We had a dinner out at Southern Hills, and it was chicken a la da-da-da. Allah. And he had written his own cookbook, and he was traveling with the Sears Roebuck art collection. That was on the road for quite some time. It was quite a spectacular collection in that year. And he said that whenever you have Allah, it's an apology for the entree. I always remembered that. So I always felt you wanted to avoid the Allah. Isn't that wonderful? And then John Mason Brown, who I so admired because when I was in college, he was the drama critic of the New York Times, and he was great. And he came, and he was charming. He was absolutely charming.
The names of your friends, either in high school, after college, that you would have been around with?
So many of them are gone. Sue Moody is older than I, as far as still surviving, graduate of Hall & Hall. Sue wrote off Moody. But she and I were not contemporaries from that standpoint. I was a good friend of Betty Bowles and a good friend of Betty Moore's and Francis Pierce. There were different clubs then, and we were called the Gammons. Our club was called the Gammons.
Clubs, what does that mean?
Clubs, well, that would be like you'd have a sorority or a fraternity or something like that, and this was before that period.
Was this like Rajah and stuff?
Rajah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rajah. And you were invited to be a member of that club, and you usually stayed within your own group.
Was this in high school or out of school?
High school.
In high school. Clubs in high school.
And then we'd usually have a dance, you know, and we'd invite everybody, the other club and the boys at their clubs, et cetera, to come to our Christmas dance.
Fun time, wasn't it?
It was definitely a fun time. Had a wonderful time. I almost feel apologetic. It was really a beautiful time of life. We took so many things for granted. I don't think we did it in an abusive way. We did it in an innocence. It was, you know, just there for us, and not a lot was demanded of us. Certainly respect and manners and behavior. Of course, there was one time. I loved athletics, and I was active in so many things, and I was anxious to win that pin. They had posture in school class at Hall & Hall. And those that sat up straightest, longest for the week got an award or something. I was out to win all this kind of a thing. And during this period, my grades, I guess, were suffering a little bit. And as I said, I was doing a lot in the way of athletics. I wanted to be the captain of the team, et cetera. So Mother and Daddy held a meeting with me and said, Marjorie, I think you're going to have to cut back on these athletics and a little more concentration on the studies. And I said, if I can't have athletics, I don't want to live. Well, they decided they needed to meet. Whether I meant what I was saying or what, they knew I could be pretty stubborn. But they were right. They were right.
Students listening to this, do you have some
this
advice?
Without thinking about it, just said then what I truly believe, and maybe I knew how to fight against, no, I don't want to, but I do feel that discipline, I'm sincere about this, that only through discipline are you a free person. You know your limits, and so you're not fighting for something that isn't acceptable. I'll say this, I think it behooves every student to take advantage of his education at the time that it comes across the plate. The rewards are so much more than it would be without it. And I envy them the beginning of it.
Very good. Well, thanks again.
You're welcome.
You were very kind. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.